That's really exciting.
That's cool.
Yeah. Is that typical for this one?
Yeah, it is typical. You know, Canada's always been a real strong market for us. We have a show, and I'm doing my first time ever. I'm doing a show in Quebec City.
Okay.
We have Calgary tomorrow with the Calgary Philharmonic at the Jack Singer. And it's weird because I would have thought that, you know, I've done the Southern Jubilee many times. We always do really well there.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, tomorrow, a smaller venue is not doing as well. I mean, in a way that I would have expected it to be sold out completely.
Interesting.
You know, and maybe even the possibility of adding a second, because the capacity there is much smaller. Almost, mm-hmm. I would say almost by 1,000.
Hmm.
But this show is completely sold out.
Yeah. So. Is it locally? It seems like there's a lot of people who would commute from Edmonton to Calgary to see something like that,
right.
And I wonder if there's a.
That can be true. I always do the same play. I always do the same run. I always do the show in Edmonton, Calgary,
right.
Vancouver, or in some form. That same run is pretty common.
Mm-hmm.
So, but
cool.
It'll be all right. No worries.
Right.
It's
cool.
It's good.
Right on.
So, cool.
Yeah. So.
Excuse me.
Oh.
You Jacob.
Jason.
Jason.
Yeah, Jacob's my colleague.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is the guys that are sitting out there. Whatever life booth you're asking for.
Extra Life?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Oh, cool. Is that like a partnership that you guys have, like...
With Extra Life?
Yeah.
I've been working with Extra Life since the beginning.
Cool.
So what we try to do is I try to offer them a space so they can promote their organization. So it's a pretty good organization. So
cool.
Yeah. Anytime I can help, you know.
Yeah.
I just got a really sad request. And it only seems like in Canada I get these really sad requests. Like, for example, in Vancouver, this one gentleman, he lost his son's battle to cancer. And they had already bought the tickets for Vancouver. And his 17-year-old, he had been to all the shows in Vancouver, and he didn't make it. So sad. And so he has these tickets, and he's gonna. In his email, he's like, the seat will be empty next to me. Would it be possible to do just a dedication of a song to my son? I said, I'm going to dedicate the whole freaking show to your son. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no kidding.
So I got an image, and we're going to be able to put it up on the big screen.
Oh, that's cool.
Do a little moment of silence for him. And I can't imagine. I'm a father, so.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can't imagine.
Like, holy cow.
And when we were in Montreal last time, we had we ran a contest. And it was for the biggest Zelda fan. And it was this young lady who had been battling cancer, and she did this amazing tribute and why she is such a big Zelda fan, and she basically, well, Zelda's helped her get through her bouts with cancer, and so she was out, and then she went back, and then they went back in, she had to go back in, and she didn't make it, and it was right before the Montreal show. She was supposed to be there, and she had just like a couple days before passed away.
Wow.
And we had planned this whole thing out. We flew their whole family out from, I think it was in Quebec, but it was not that close to Montreal. It may have been Ontario, actually. But in any case, it was just really heart-wrenching.
Mm-hmm.
And, I got to hang out with the parents, and I was really moved, you know, and it was just like, Zelda really is something that, really mm-hmm. is one of those things that really, you know, really, it could help you get through some of the challenges, like of cancer and what have you.
Totally.
But in Canada, I always seem to get these really emotional, you know, I'm really excited to be able to do that for that family.
That's
really
that'd
be cool. Good. So I'm glad that they contacted me. They contacted the right person.
Yeah.
They probably weren't expecting to get the response that they did.
Yeah.
I replied directly to it because it came through my newsletter. You know, I have an email database where people can, you know, mm-hmm. write in and they get filtered, and then mm-hmm. they get to me eventually, the ones that I need to respond to.
Right.
And that one got to me, so I'm glad it did, because that way I can really help that family. And I think that'll be a good thing.
That'll
be good. I'm glad.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it would be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be good. The concert's amazing. The concert's great. Canada fans are really good, too.
Yeah.
historically we've always had a great turnout in Canada, so
yeah,
that's good.
That's cool. Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Well, I guess a little bit about me too, or about us. I am, I don't know how much, was it Kara or somebody? Anyways, so I am the host of a podcast called Nintendo Dads,
cool.
kind of going back to that father thing, right?
Yeah.
And so we have basically sort of, we've done over 100 episodes of just, you know, we'll talk about the news of Nintendo. We'll talk about, like, we do like a monthly thing called Retro Rewind where we're like, the community will pick a game and everybody goes and plays it. The very first one we ever did was Link's Awakening.
Very cool.
Right? And so that's kind of, you know, a little bit about what we do. So we just get online every week and chat about things, and yeah, it's pretty fun. So
that is cool.
So I reached out to the community, you know, see if there's anything they wanted to know about. And just, I kind of looked at like the press stuff that they, that I was sent as well. You apparently did like, you've done other video game. It seems like there's a lot of video game symphony stuff
yeah.
that you've done. Like, what is it about, like, why video games? Why video game music? Why?
Well,
it's like a really big question, probably. But
well, I mean, I started my career off in entertainment. Not
by the way, I should say too, I'm recording like for that. It's just I guess full disclosure. Anyway,
I was young when I first came into business, and I'm born and raised in San Francisco, California, and I came up in the business, and my first real introduction to the corporate world was by working for PlayStation. And I've been playing games since before I can remember, you know, really dating back to even Pong. You know, I mean, I had it, you know, my I didn't have it personally, but my uncle had it, and I just remember being a kid going over there and seeing this Pong, you know, and thinking to myself, wow, this is really rudimentary, you know. And then of course Atari came. And then I was like, oh my God, this is now we're getting into some video games, right? And just playing that Commodore, you know, and just, you know, what we did in our off time or our downtime when I wasn't playing sports was playing video games with my bros, you know, and then eventually it led to 16-bit Genesis, Sega Genesis coming out. My dad and I began to really develop a relationship playing video games mm-hmm. together, and sometimes my dad would be up till 4 a.m. and I'd come out there and see my dad still playing Sonic the Hedgehog.
I feel like there's an exact story. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my dad.
I didn't want to assume, but yeah.
Yeah, right? Well, the resemblances.
Yeah, you look great, by the way.
Yeah.
I didn't want to assume because, you know, like, he may not have been your dad. Yeah. Could have been a brother, or, you know.
We had a Sega, too, and had an experience where the kids got up early in the morning and mom and dad were playing Echo.
Very nice.
And I've been playing it all night.
Right, I know. And so, you know, very normal family, but, you know, those were the types of things that I cherish. And, you know, and just, you know, as I played and continued to play, you know, I obviously played Zelda on the NES, and I started playing Castlevania, Double Dragon, a lot of the, and some arcade titles too, you know, because we would love to go to the arcade. But so my career path led me into working into video games through production. And that was kind of it was very beginning of video games really becoming the business, you know, and being based out of San Francisco, which is the home of PlayStation, Foster City.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to take them on as a client, and it was really in the very beginnings of E3. And so we, just by chance, we were handling the PlayStation, and I was doing and working on their booth. And I don't know if you're familiar with it, but these are very elaborate booths.
Oh, yeah.
These are multi-million-dollar productions, and I was fortunate enough to be on the ground floor of those. And and kind of the role that I played in that was I was responsible for not only a lot of the content and the media and organizing all that, but, you know, playing through, grabbing selects, doing really really beginner captures, mm-hmm. and of course Final Fantasy,
mm-hmm.
which was kind of I was basically in charge of managing the Squaresoft. At that time, Squaresoft was it was under the PlayStation umbrella as a not a they weren't first party, but they were kind of first party because it was the only at that time it was the only console that Final Fantasy was being released on.
It was just like time of like Final Fantasy VII, like that era,
was,
sort of.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. So yeah. Previously, it was only on the and Nintendo.
Yeah,
And then it became exclusive on the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was fortunate enough to be on that, and that's where I really kind of started getting really involved in doing not only the media side of things and taking care of presentations for them at sales meetings and press events. Then we started getting into other things such as the E3 trade show floor booth, getting all that. So all the content and media that was being developed for that, I was in charge of. And then I was also, it was really cool because I was, the company I was with at the time was also handling all of the parties for PlayStation, which required us to have to procure all the talent, hence the musical aspect mm-hmm. of kind of my, my professional career. So I always had my hands kind of in this video game thing, and being able to explore that, and then also having my hand in this music side of things, entertainment, and mm-hmm. I was doing a lot, and so I started kind of segueing into more, so I started working with Luciano Pavarotti, and I started working with the Three Tenors.
Seems like a reasonable place to start, right?
Right. Yeah. So it just so happened that I was, I kind of fell into this thing where I became a production manager for the Three Tenors and Luciano Pavarotti. So, like the Saddle Dome, mm-hmm. All the arenas. It was arena right. tour, stadium tours, things like that. But I was always kind of maintaining my relationship with, because I went out on my own at that time, and then I had taken the Square account with me,
mm-hmm.
and I was managing that relationship outside of the company I was previously with. But I managed to keep that, and mm-hmm. so I kept that. And so with that, I was still doing the same things that I was doing as part of the company, but that was when Square had departed from PlayStation and got out from underneath their first party, mm-hmm. if you will, and they started doing things on their own. So they would do press events, they would do all the things that PlayStation was doing, but on a much smaller scale, and it was pretty much just Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So that was happening, and of course, I also speak Japanese, and I also read and write in Japanese, and I was spending a lot of time in Tokyo, and I did Pavarotti's farewell tour in Japan. So it was at that time that I was kind of marinating on these ideas of trying to do something video game music, but it was never really, it was just kind of a half-baked kind of thing where, you know, in Japan, they were doing these types of things, but they were never really doing it with the visual element.
Mm.
And that was where I kind of had an epiphany, and I was like, okay, this might be something that we can do. And so I kind of just started kind of marinating and kind of baking this idea in my head, and then I had an opportunity to present it, and then I had an opportunity to, at the same time, invite guests from Square Enix in Japan, and it was... Let me back up. They weren't Square Enix yet. They were Square still.
Mm-hmm.
And it was at that time in 2004 that they merged with Enix, Square Enix, to become the RPG powerhouse mm-hmm. that not only included Final Fantasy, but it included Dragon Quest now.
Right.
So that was really a big thing, right? And so, of course, I always had my hand in that. So when they had this big thing, they wanted me to do the press event. And then... the president at the time was a good friend of mine. He was like, he knew what I was up to. He asked me, he's like, what do you think about doing a Final Fantasy concert? And so I was like, sure, let's do it. And so that was where it all kind of just kind of came together.
Yeah.
They gave me a pretty much a blank check to create a show, and that was where I did it, and that was where it started. And
that's so you'd had this idea for a long time of like, somehow these two things have to come together.
I kind of, you know, I did and I didn't, because I didn't think it was really, I mean, you know, when you're working in that type of environment, you know, it doesn't, there's not a lot of risky business.
Right.
And when you have a genre of music that's so you know, in the very beginning stages, you know, when no one even knows about it, and the only people that are talking about it are comparing it to elevator music or Muzak.
Mm.
It's kind of a hard egg to crack, right? You know, so I was lucky, and of course, when you start anything off, if someone else is paying the bill, and you're able to hire the LA Phil, and you're able to rent the Walt Disney Concert Hall, and then you're able to do before that, you have a press event, and you're transitioning into a concert the same day. That was kind of that was where it all, you know, started. So that was in 2004, and I'm 39 now. So when I did that, I was in my late, just after my mid-20s. But I was doing all that since I was 18, 19 years old.
Wow.
Leading up to that point.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I didn't know shit. Excuse my language. But I knew enough.
Yeah.
And what I didn't know, I made up for in my enthusiasm and my knowledge of video games and my knowledge of just knowing the right people, you know. And so, you know, we were able to do everything right on that first show, and that was really what kind of proved that this concept could work. Whenever you have a sold-out show that sells out in like 3 days, and you have the president of the LA Phil is quoted in the LA Times as saying it's a virtual riot at the box office, and she also was the president of the New York Phil, so her credibility is you know, none other, right?
Yeah.
In that genre.
Mm-hmm.
So that was really just kind of all the stars aligning, you know, and
yeah.
that was when I really was a believer.
Yeah,
I should say I was a believer when we went on sale that first day, and by the third, and we went on sale I think on a Friday, and then by Sunday we were completely sold out, and it was like, and everyone was hailing me as like this amazing, you know,
no pressure,
right?
Yeah, exactly. It's the overnight success,
right? It was truly an like overnight success,
yeah.
Truly, and yeah. I'll tell you right now that success was, you know, these. I still remember the orchestra members. They're so snooty and so obnoxious, and they were just so, they were so against it, you know. And it was just like, but you know, now you fast forward to where we're at now, and I got orchestras lining up. You know, We've done over in the last 2 years, we will have done almost 200 shows all over the world with this product. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, I'm just blessed. And, but, you know, I mean, I've kind of done the biggest games, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't really get any bigger than Final Fantasy and Zelda.
Yeah.
And, you know.
You feel like there's another, like, there was another game that you'd want to do, like, is there's like a dream?
I don't think there's really another title that I think would really be, that could really stand on its own the way that these two titles do, because I think stories, the thing about Zelda, I think, which is such a great title, is because its story is so easy to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Very universal hero's journey, sort of. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, I mean, and I think that is something that, you know, I think it's very easy to connect to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've thought about Castlevania, like, cause I love Castlevania. I've always loved Castlevania. You know, I've always played Castlevania.
Mm-hmm.
I still play Castlevania. But I think that's more appropriate for another concert, which I created, which was more of a collection of, you know, bestsellers, but not necessarily a franchise. I mean, Castlevania is a franchise that's been around 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily think that it, but it's interesting because I know Kingdom Hearts just came out with a new concert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I did the first ever launch of that game in Los Angeles at the W Hotel. I still remember that. I'm friends with Tetsuya Nomura, but I would never have thought that they would be selling out concerts, you know, with Kingdom Hearts.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a little bit of in disbelief, to be honest with you. I'm really surprised that they've been able to be so successful. Pokemon Symphonic Evolutions is another show that is, you know, I think that's a generation thing. I think it skipped a lot of people. And I don't think the audience that they're looking to attract is necessarily has quite the disposable income that someone of a Final Fantasy or a Zelda for that matter would be interested in. So only time will tell. But I just think that for me personally, the goal for me is to create something that is intellectual, something that is musically driven, and then of course the visual is something that is more or less an accompaniment, but doesn't necessarily need to be there, but it is there, you know what I mean? And so I have a couple more ideas that I want to do, and I won't really rest until I do them, but it's not really up to me,
right?
You know, and I work for one of the toughest, you know, clients in terms of just, you know, they beat to the sound of their own drum. They don't really they're not trying to please anybody.
Yeah,
except for the fans, of course. I mean, they work hard to please fans, but they're not. I mean, Dream Show would be something more or less in the along the lines of like a Nintendo All-Star Show or something that, you know, can present all of their first party titles. That would be a very cool concert.
That would be really cool.
And
yeah,
I want to do it, and I pitched it, and I'm trying to do it, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, very cool.
They have some things that they need to work out, which I hope they do soon.
Yeah, like what is it like working with Nintendo? Like, is that a like, are they? Because again, like you said, they're very unique, right? And they sometimes seem to zig when everybody expects them to zag, and you know that kind of a thing. What's that like?
I think if I didn't understand Japanese culture and how Japanese business works, I would probably be banging my head on the wall.
Mm.
But I did that. I did that when I was young.
Yeah.
And probably what cost me my license with Square Enix, you know, because I didn't really understand the dynamics, and I didn't really understand. The bottom line is this. They're video game manufacturers. They are video game producers. Music is not their core business. And I take what I can get because I understand that. You know,
yeah.
I wish it was as important to them as, you know, a video game release. A soundtrack release to me is as important, but of course to them,
right,
it's not really the main driver, you know. So, but to answer your question, what it's like to work with them, when they're on, it's great. But when I'm out on my own and I'm on my own, you know, and I have to be very resourceful, and I can't rely on a lot of the things that you would expect, you know.
So you almost get the stamp of approval, and then
you're on your own.
Yeah.
Kind of on your own.
Interesting.
You know, it really is. That's why I've been working so hard, because I kind of knew going into this that that's what I have to do. I have to create a brand that can kind of live on its own. And when they want to get behind it and they want to, you know, promote it or get, I'm grateful, but I can't rely on that. So,
right.
It could be frustrating. I've been doing this long enough though, where I've got a thick skin, and I also feel like I think I've kind of, like, for example, I was the first one to ever do a show in Edmonton. You know, like, I've kind of created my own. I've been able to create markets, and I've been able to create successful models for success that I think, you know, enable us to have these shows in these places, you know. But it wasn't, I mean, it is with the help of Nintendo, don't get me wrong, but it's not like everyone thinks that, you know, that they send out an email blast or they do this and do that. Well, it was that easy, man. I wouldn't be spending $20,000 on a market to promote it.
Yeah.
You know? So cool. It can be frustrating. It can be frustrating.
Yeah.
But like I said, when it's great, it's great. I was in Kyoto and I was with Miyamoto and I was with Mr. Aonuma and Mr. Kondo, and we were doing videos. Like, I mean, those are highlights. Those are treasury moments. Those are lifetime moments that I will always have. But at the end of the day, you know, I wish I could do that. And I wish I could continue to do that to update the show and keep it relative and do that. But
I was going to say, you probably don't have any. They aren't sending you stuff just like, oh, by the way, here's all this great new stuff from
I have to
new Zelda game. And
I have to initiate everything.
Yeah.
I remember I did a Stephen Colbert. We were on a late night with Stephen Colbert.
Okay.
And, you know, like, I couldn't believe it, but they were releasing a new game, Triforce Heroes, mm-hmm. and like I didn't even get the game, I got the case.
They sent you just the case with no game in it?
They because it was for the segment.
Right.
And I didn't even have the game in it. I'm like,
you could have let me play it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just an example, you know.
But, yeah.
You know, it's not the, I mean, I have what's valuable, and I have a license, and I have an exclusive license, so.
Yeah.
As long as I have that, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good. And I'll continue to knock it out of the park, because that's what I want to do.
Very cool.
I love Zelda. I mean, it's created my livelihood, you know, so, mm-hmm. You know, I'm very grateful for that, so.
There's something in the story that, you know, to get a little philosophical, it speaks to people.
Mm-hmm.
People have struggles, you know, and challenges. Mm-hmm. Somehow that story, like you were saying before, Zelda can help people get through things. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe the symphony kind of tells the story too, I assume.
That's the hope.
And, like, what's your ultimate? When do you know you've succeeded with the symphony?
With me, I don't know if I'll ever feel that way. I'm not very content. So,
like, what do you want people to come away from that with?
Well, I personally want anyone who comes to see a show, I'd really like them to be the advocate. I'd like for them to be the promoter. You know, I'd like for them to tell the story of their experience. You know, like a lot of people who walk through these doors, this is their first concert, let alone a symphony performance. And it just happens to be one of the most famous popular culture icons in the history of the world. So for me to be a part of that, you know, I want them to share that, because at the end of the day, that's the best form of advertising, right? Is to be able to talk about their experience, you know. For me, I get so much satisfaction of just hanging in the corner and watching these people. Like, this brings those people together. This enables these people to wear a costume if they want and come to a place and feel comfortable. Like, I don't think there's any other place in the world, you know, that can provide that. You know, this is a place where people can, you know, just feel a part of, you know, like this experience, you know. So, yeah, I mean, that's that takeaway. The idea for me is for people to be able to share their experience. And I encourage that, and I want them to do that. And, you know, we haven't gotten very many, we don't get very much negative. You know, it really is a positive, you know. And I think there's so many positive things that come out of this experience, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, what would the world be like if we didn't have symphonies?
Well, I think it introduces a type of music to people that wouldn't normally go to the symphony.
Right.
But,
well, definitely.
You know, I find it odd that the musical community has some hesitation there, because really it's promoting their product, which is symphonic music,
mm-hmm.
you know, and really at a high level. I mean, these are not local musicians, you know, they're not high school kids playing. These are professionals that are at a very high level.
You hit the nail on the head. And so whenever you have professional organizations, they're mobilized, they have unions, they have things that, and really, and this is, I don't want, without getting into too much of the kind of the behind the scenes, I mean, these are very costly productions.
Yes.
I mean, so whereas you have an artist in a piano singing on the stage, I have almost 100 musicians on the stage.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every one of those musicians has to get paid.
And then I also
have the visual component.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason why you don't see too many of these productions is not a lot of people know what they're doing. And not a lot of people have the financial resources and the risk, the appetite for risk. You know, what I've tried to do over the course of my career is I'm minimizing risk. And the only reason why I'm able to minimize the risk is because I I have a formula, you know, and that's, but not a lot of people. And that's why a lot of people, you know, they don't have that appetite. They can't afford it. And it's also kind of an unknown, right?
In the end, it's got to be worth it, or you're never going to do it again. So,
So I mean, those are just some of the reasons.
I think really the musicians are introducing people to classical music in a way, like people who wouldn't normally go to a symphony.
Oh yeah.
And so it's, in a way, it's promoting their product in a bigger sense.
Oh, I totally agree. I think, I mean, where else, like, for example, you look at our touring schedule, like, what other, I mean, they spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on tours with just kiosk. If we were to create a system where they could piggyback on that and utilize this concourse rather than going into a mall, or, and they have 2,500 fans,
mm-hmm.
I think that's more valuable than, and that's the main event. I mean,
it's interesting that Nintendo, again, that you're going to Nintendo every time when there's a lot of, like, I kind of expected, like, oh, here's all this promotional stuff, stand-ups and whatever, right? And it's just like, oh, here's a few things. And
I got my merchandise and I got my show.
Yeah.
And I have commercials that were provided, you know, and I have some materials that have been provided by Nintendo. Yeah. But everything else is created by me.
Yeah.
With their approval, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I mean, this is all created by me, my production.
Yeah.
I didn't just get these off a hard drive. I had to assemble all of this. Mm-hmm. I had to assemble all the charts. I had to assemble all the printing. I had to assemble all the talent that, you know, and I had to create all this. And at the end of the day, I don't own it.
It's a lot of work for something you don't own.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but you know, I mean, I it's worth it to me. You know, I mean, I've been very successful. I'm not going to kid you. I've had a lot of success with this. I've been very fortunate, and but again, this is one of the only, I think, in my opinion, this is one of the only brands in this genre, video game music, that could really be able to consistently, day in and day out, travel the world and be able to have success. I think some of the other titles, and you know, I mean, you might have some initial success in some markets with a new show like Kingdom Hearts, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's not really something that's going to sustain.
What is it about Zelda specifically that you think speaks to people? Like,
well, I think the fact that they're still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a title that we're in 30 years, and like, I'm as excited as ever to see Breath of the Wild.
Yeah.
Like, I've never been more excited about a game.
Totally.
I mean, I've never been more excited about a game. And I'm 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when games were coming out, but I've never had the anticipation that I've had with... And that kind of goes back to your question about kind of this zig and zag.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of, like, the way that they're going about how they're doing this is kind of awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still excited as hell.
Yeah,
and I'm like more. It's highly anticipated. It's like so ridiculous.
It's like there's so much. Again, their weird way of doing it is almost building that anticipation itself. Where it's like, I haven't even seen it on the NX yet, and that's probably where I'm going to be playing it. And who knows where it's going on with that? And
I know. And I was actually reading recently, you know, because I'm always, you know, I'm very conscious, because any misstep or misfire that I have, it could potentially jeopardize everything that I built.
Mm-hmm.
But when I see, like, for example, the Pokemon company holding a press event, and they're talking about, and they're making an announcement about how, you know, they're talking about the NX and how it's going to be, you know, and they're also talking about release dates, right? Or one I heard of recently was, it was Nintendo of Europe announced that it's going to be March 2017.
Mm-hmm.
They announced that recently.
Yeah.
And I thought it was pretty. I was like, good, you're going to get.
Somebody somewhere is
going to get their head chopped
too much. I don't know if it was some intern somewhere. Who knows?
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
I was just thinking to myself, heads are going to roll. Because I've fortunately for me, I haven't had too many, but I've had other people in my camp do some things that, you know, I had to let them go just to disassociate, disassociate myself because I can't, you know.
Like, yeah.
You know, but it's an honor. Mm-hmm. It's truly a privilege to be able to work with Nintendo and to be doing at this level with Nintendo. And they continue to support me in the ways that, you know, may not be monetarily. But, you know, I feel like, you know, I mean, just by them giving me this license has given me so much freedom and so much autonomy to be able to take the show anywhere I want in the world and be able to deliver what I think is just one of the most wonderful things I could ever ask for. To see the joy, the happiness, you know, you here today, you two, a generation, you know, a father, son, you're going to see that. You're going to not only see a father, son, you're going to see a grandfather, a father and a son.
I've got a son at home and I was like, it would be interesting. He's five right now, but like, you know, a few years from now, that's like totally the kind of thing, you know, passing it on. And he's already at home. Like he's got his 2DS and he's playing the crap out of Pokemon and, you know, all that kind of stuff. Right? It's like, no, you can't play this for 3 hours a day. I'm sorry. Right.
Like, he's not quite to Zelda yet.
Yeah, exactly.
In a few years, he will be.
What's
my daughter just started playing Majora's Mask.
Oh, wow.
She's Sekifani.
Yeah.
She cracked me up. I took her on tour and we were in Disney World and I busted out Majora's Mask 3D and she got into it, man. And she was like, Dad, I can't remember where this mask is. Like, where is it? And like, she's like, it was just heck of cute. And you know, when we were kids, we didn't have, you know, we didn't have the internet. We
There's
didn't
no have YouTube. Throughs.
We couldn't do playthroughs. We had guides, but last thing my parents wanted to do was buy me a guide on top of a game.
Well, like, you know, Majora's Mask, it's like, okay, follow this person around town for 3 days and, you know, that kind of stuff.
72 hours. You
get stuck to go to the playground. See what you can find out.
I know, but, you know, and she was asking me, Dad, I was like, just go online. Go online. I was like, you will find the answer. You know, so, I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful.
Cool. Very cool.
I can't imagine me doing anything different.
Yeah, right on. Cool. Well, we want to be mindful of your time, but I guess one last question. If you had to pick out of all of the, you know, the history of the Zelda franchise, do you have a favorite? Like, what is the one that you really gravitate towards the most?
Well, I mean, my playing days are kind of over. More or less, I'm not really playing, although I did play like Between Worlds. And I did play Triforce Heroes. And I did play a lot of 3DS games.
I imagine doing a lot of traveling.
Yeah. But, you know, I have a Wii U. I play Super Smash. I'm kind of getting out of the Zelda realm, but, you know, I think for me personally, Skyward Sword was a pretty big deal. I think a lot of that game, I felt like I was kind of somewhat a part of, only because it was the first time ever that Nintendo had hired a company to produce a CD as part of a bundle that would be released with that.
So
I did that.
Oh, that's cool.
And I did the orchestral CD. So that was something that, you know, in my whole life, I could have never imagined being, you know, and then for me to be a part of that, it was pretty cool.
That's pretty awesome.
And that small little, you know, and that was special.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Awesome. It's
Sorry, we need to
sign
this real quick. I'm going to donate it to Extra Life so they can do it at auction.
Good. Cool.
Like, this is good up here. Maybe it's like lighter. Or here, that's a good spot too.
Jacob's been in all of my shows since 2005, 2006.
Nice.
Yeah. I started up as the tape op with Play, so I was queuing all the videos.
Okay, cool.
Graduated to the front office. It's good.
Nice. He also grew up with me too in my hometown. So we've been able to raise our families through this career path that we've come on.
That's super cool.
Right on. Yeah, we take this very seriously. this is our livelihood. So,
yeah.
And it's enabled us to, you know, be able to have families and to provide a lot of joy at the same time. So, but I think Skyward Sword is probably the game that I feel like a lasting connection with. But I mean, Breath of the Wild's coming out. I'm going to be really excited about that. I already know. I probably will spend about a week on that.
And play, yeah.
You know,
just when get it comes just out. Like planned illness sort of thing. I plan on
maybe being come sick. Back to Banff. I was in Banff this summer.
Oh yeah.
Maybe that might be a good place to kind of get lost.
Just kind of hole up in
Lake Louise.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. No. I. You know. So. But yeah, absolutely. I'm very lucky and. I get to meet all kinds of cool people too.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say that I wish that I was more like some of these other people where I'm like, I had like 100,000 followers and I had people, cause I do some pretty cool stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I'm an entrepreneur too. I don't just have a production company. I also have a coffee business and I do the things that I love and that's kind of been my MO, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always want to be in doing something that I love and I've been fortunate enough since I was young to be able to do what I love. But I'm at a point now where I'm almost 40 and I want to be able to, you know, mentor people. I want to be able to provide people, a lot of, guidance, if you will. And, you know, I wish I was a little bit more, active on some of these social media and things like that. But,
right.
Cause I do want to have commercial success.
And that's such a big part of it nowadays is you know, social media and just almost having that, I don't know if personal brand is the right word, but just being able to kind of have that reach.
Right.
That's where people seem to gravitate towards nowadays, right?
It amazes me because I know how hard I work.
Yeah.
And I know how big, but I have friends that have more followers than my Zelda Symphony Twitter. And I'm thinking to myself, how is that possible? What do? They pay someone to get those followers?
Yeah. Well, and half of it's like pictures of sandwiches and who knows, right? Like, we right, just need to start posting pictures of sandwiches.
Right.
This is the best Zelda sandwich you've ever, you know.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I was just talking about that with my buddy. I was like, I have a friend actually who has 10,000 followers and I don't know how he got 10,000 followers.
Yeah.
But my Zelda Twitter account only has over 14,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that's almost a half a decade to build.
Yeah.
So I'm like, wow. But at the end of the day, I only care about one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's having successful shows. That's having great shows. And that's having people enjoy the experience, like, and they keep coming back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because this show's always different. No matter what someone says, this show will never be the same show. If I come back to the city for a second, a third, or fourth time, every time I come to that city, there's always going to be a different element to it. Whether it's the merchandise, whether it's two new pieces, or, you know, for example, Triforce Heroes wasn't a part of the concert last time we were here. It's part of this concert this time.
Cool.
Twilight Princess HD. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a whole movement, Twilight Princess.
Cool.
So that's all updated.
When you look at the Breath of the Wild footage, it'd be exciting to see that up on big screens.
I'm chomping at the bit to try to get my hands on that right now.
Yeah.
I'm like every week I'm like, can I get some? Can I get some? Can I get this? Can I do this? Can I do this? I'm putting together all these.
And it feels like so much right now. They're locked. They're on total lockdown too.
I'm exhausted.
It seems like. Yeah.
I'm exhausted. I can't get anything.
But someday.
I know it'll happen.
Someday it'll happen. It's made for a big screen.
They just extended my license, so I'll be touring effectively through the end of 2017.
Oh, okay, cool.
So I think that's kind of an indicator that they want to do some things in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know when. I've heard March.
Mm. That's what they've said for the NX, right? I think they've said NX March, but then they're like, and Zelda will be on the NX, right? And
that's what they're launching it with. Apparently, it's Pokemon and Zelda are going to be the two.
Yeah.
Two titles I really
which will be
cool.
Yeah, that'll be looking forward to hearing more about it. So well, I'm looking forward to tonight.
It's you're gonna be awesome.
It's gonna be great.
I'm proud of it, man. You're gonna love it. It's a great show. It's very cohesive. It's very it's very well very well written music. Visuals are all timely, like everything about it is in sync. So
very cool.
It's funny because it's something, it's nostalgic, for us. I mean, mm-hmm. that's stuff that we played as kids. I mean, Zach played, was it Oracle of Seasons or Ages?
I remember Oracle of Seasons was one of the first ones that I played.
To death. I mean, I've played the original Game Boy Titans. Been working on Minish Cap. Stuck on one of the bosses.
Mm-hmm. I remember there was...
But at the same time, it makes you excited for the future because Breath of the Wild's out there. And you look at it and think, wow, you know, somebody told me 30 years ago that we'd be looking at this.
Right.
And that's what we'd be playing someday.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's remarkable.
Yeah.
It's remarkable. I'm liking it. I'm liking the direction, too. I think the idea of an open-air type game with the Legend of Zelda game is like... It's like music to your ears, right?
Because yeah.
How many times have you wanted to just kind of go off and explore in Hyrule?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, or, you know, I mean, just kind of just get lost a little bit, kind of maybe, you know, but now you can do that.
Yeah, and they've added so many elements from different other types of games, you know, more Western RPGs and stuff like that, like, and adding all of those in there. It's, again, the exploration piece, right? And it just seemed... Like, watching all that stuff coming out of E3, I was just sitting there like, holy cow. They're very clearly limiting what they're showing us. It's literally this small area on this huge map.
Yeah.
And yet, even within that small area, look at all that can happen. Imagine what this whole game is going to be like.
I saw some really cool playthroughs.
Yeah.
With Bill Trennan, and he was right there. And I can even... His face says it all, too.
Yeah.
You know, watching Bill... You know, are you familiar with Bill Trennan?
Yeah.
He's my guy. He's the guy who I deal with. Just watching his face, watching someone else play the game,
mm-hmm.
he's just, even he's like, oh my God, that's so cool.
Yeah. You know, like, this is so cool.
And he's a huge Zelda fan, too. Yeah. You know? So he's a huge Nintendo fan, obviously, but he's a huge Zelda fan, too.
It's so interesting to watch the guys from, like, all those Treehouse guys, because, like, they... Very clearly, this has been like, all right, I got to get to the treehouse or whatever, and just I can only imagine what it's like waiting for. All right, here's the current build of the new Zelda game, and just like receiving it and this you know that excitement for them.
Absolutely.
As well.
Well, I'm in that same boat.
Yeah,
I'm not first party, but I'm third party, but I'm kind of first party. You know?
Yeah,
I'm anxious. I'm so anxious. I just want to be able to have that next element for my shell.
Yeah.
You know, selfishly, I'm like, I want to be able to include it because I want to give fans mm-hmm. their first taste of it. But what better taste of it, even if it's just a preview, even if I just take that piano piece mm-hmm. that they do with the sound effects and just perform that live with the symphony to the visuals mm-hmm. would be enough. You know what I mean?
Just
you,
to, enough
you
to
know
what
people are going to be looking for. It.
Right. Yeah. And I want to use it because,
at
you know.
At some point, you want to be able to give it to them.
It would mm-hmm. be nice to have it. Mm-hmm. Just even if it's a 2-minute piece, just something you know, mm-hmm. for them to tangible, they can feel and hear, and mm-hmm. you know, just talk about it even further. You know,
yeah.
So we'll see. Hopefully, you know, what happens is when you work with Nintendo, is they really USA Nintendo of America is very sensitive to the people who are working on the game in Japan. Mm-hmm. They don't want to disrupt. They don't want to delay development. Any time away. At all, even a second is like they don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So they just tell you ahead of time that you know you this is probably realistically probably not till January.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm like damn,
that's like
that's a whole that's like 55 shows from now.
Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, it kind of feeds the fever.
Yeah, I know, but for me personally, I could feed the tickets.
Yeah.
Ticket sales.
Yeah.
You know, that would be.
Well, and then you would be feeding the fever back as well, right?
Like I would be giving it back. I'd be giving that much more enthusiasm.
I think it goes back to what you were saying about Japanese culture.
I think so.
And they don't care
Japanese
about ticket
culture,
sales.
Their patience is a lot more abundant than it is in North America. We're very impatient people.
Right.
But in Japan, it's, you know, it's almost. Things get given to you as a gift,
right?
In the time that the giver wants,
right?
Yeah, you graciously accept it when it comes. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, patience is one of the strongest virtues of that culture. You know, like patience.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And patience. I think that's why we have trouble with Nintendo sometimes, because we want to know all the details, and they're not coming
yet. Yeah.
But eventually they do.
They'll be there. When they're there, we're all going to be in Zelda heaven.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But no, I'm glad you guys came.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll definitely let me know where your reaction is after the show.
Totally. Absolutely.
If you have any contacts in Quebec City or anyone else in Canada, or if you know anyone in Calgary, we have a concert there tomorrow too. So.
Cool.
And then Vancouver, of course. Hopefully you can spread the word or whatever.
Yeah.
I'm going to definitely encourage people to, if they like what they see here tonight, come to Calgary tomorrow.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah.
I don't know how many people will come. We're competing with Drake tonight. I'm just kidding. I know Drake is. He's at the new arena.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
His second night. He had one last night, too. So.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. It's not competition.
I was going to say, I don't know if there's much overlap.
He's surprised.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true.
I can tell you, in Montreal, when I was there recently, I was amazed at how many people had Zelda tattoos. Everywhere I seemed to go, it seemed like it. I was like, Triforce. Everywhere. It's like... It's pretty cool, though.
Cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, thanks again, man. Really appreciate it. It's been awesome.
Absolutely. Thanks for taking the time. Coming.
Absolutely.
Good stuff. Thank you very much.
Thanks again.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you. Keep in touch.
We'll do.
Have fun tonight.
All right.
Thank you for listening to Nintendo Dad.